Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Good Wednesday morning. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson producing. Preds lose last night 2-1 to the Jets. We will talk to Adam Vingan coming up in about 30 minutes from now, so don't go anywhere. But college basketball up and running, and it's a much bigger part of our calendar now, and that's a part of that excitement is one of the better rivalries in this area and in all of college basketball. Belmont at Lipscomb tonight, 6:30. Allen Arena, and Belmont head basketball coach Casey Alexander joining us here on the program. Coach, first of all, how are you? And I'm hopeful that you did not listen to our radio program last segment.
Good morning. I'm doing well, and I did not listen to your radio program.
For the first time, I'm happy to hear a coach say that. Obviously, listen, you guys didn't get out to the start you wanted to. You lose in game one, but how have you seen your team respond now at sitting at 3-1? After just four games?
Yeah, well, first of all, I wasn't too disappointed with the loss at Illinois State. We played well for the most part, but just couldn't find a way to finish it. And then since then, I think we've played really well. I mean, we've had significant margins, Samford at Boston College and High Point. I think we've played pretty well on both ends of the floor. So I feel okay about our team. Got plenty of work left to do, though.
Now, I mean, obviously this game coming up, what does it mean to you as a coach? Does it mean, is it any added, not necessarily pressure, but any added excitement for you or for the team? Or is it just, hey, listen, we got a long season, and this is just one of many games we got to play?
If it can be, it's both of those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Lipscomb-Belmont doesn't, you know, have a little bit more meaning to it than a lot of games that we play as far as fan interest and, you know, and what both schools want and former players and me having coached at both places. I mean, that's human nature that it's going to feel a little different. But at the same time, the coaching part of me is, you know, how can we best prepare ourselves to go play tonight? What do we need to do to win tonight? And 100% when the game starts, I won't care where we are, who we're playing, or what the history says.
Which is, of course, the 145th meeting between Lipscomb and Belmont. If you can get out there, starts at 6:30 tonight. Absolutely one of the best games of basketball you will see at any point during the calendar year in this city. Although I got to remind you, Coach, and I'm sure you know this, Lipscomb does lead the series 75-69 overall. So, and you've been a part of both of those, obviously, on both sides. What are those feelings? I mean, I feel like I've asked you this now three or four different times of the year since you got the job, that there's going to be emotion involved. You know all those kids, both post-game when you have a chance to talk to some of those kids and pre-game walking into an arena that you used to coach at. What are the emotions you expect to feel, and how do you control it?
Yeah, it'll be difficult. I mean, I'll be completely honest. I mean, those guys that are on that team, literally every single one of them, with the exception of one, you know, came there under our leadership and have relationships with and had, you know, significant dreams for all of them. And so to now be on the other side and trying to beat them and figuring out a way to win a game is difficult. I have a lot of friends there. I have a lot of people that I will look forward to seeing tonight. You know, so all the stuff pregame will probably be tougher than afterwards. Afterwards, I'm sure I'll be just be glad that it's over. Hopefully I'll be glad that it's over after we win.
Absolutely. Now, Coach, you just said something interesting. I was going to go in one direction, but now I kind of called audible. You've said that the kids that are there, majority of the kids that are there are kids that you coach, that you help recruit, that you brought in. Is that an added advantage for you as a coach and for your coaching staff? Because you know their strengths, you know their weaknesses. You look at the last three games, they've lost the last three games, all but one of them. They've been close games, yeah. I think by a point or 3 points. Is it an added advantage for you and your coaching staff that you're able to recruit these kids so you know the weaknesses and the strengths of them?
Maybe by a smidgen, maybe. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, it doesn't really matter what I know about them. It matters what our players know about them. Mm-hmm. And so how much of that I can relay to them is what coaching is all about. And so, yeah, from a personnel perspective, Yeah, we probably have an advantage. But from an X's and O's perspective, they do. Roger Edstrom, who is my associate head coach and I was with for 20 years or so, is still on their staff. And so when you look at what we're trying to do offensively, they've got the full picture. When you look at what we're trying to do defensively, they've got the full picture, where we do not. You know, Lenny brings a new system, a new style, and so we're grabbing at straws a little bit on our end.
Your leading scorer, Adam Kunkel, at 22.5 per game, shooting 53% from behind the arc, which it feels like it's channeling your former mentor there pretty clearly. Better three-point shooter than he is a two-point shooter. 9 minutes per game last year. Now he's up to 25 and scoring 22.5. What have you seen out of the sophomore in terms of growth?
Gosh, the numbers speak for themselves. You know, I'll say this. He tried to do too much all summer. And then when he just kind of slowed down and let it come to him a little bit, we could see 3 or 4 weeks ago as we were well into preseason practice, you know, that he was going to be a significant scorer for us. In our scrimmage games, he played really well, and then he got off to a great start at Illinois State, you know, and then kind of the rest is history. Now, will he be able to keep up this pace, you know, for 30-whatever games? You know, that's not very likely, but he came in with good credentials. He didn't get that much of an opportunity last year with Dylan and Kevin here, and you know, now he's just kind of picked up and become who we all thought he would be, honestly.
Now, getting back to the schematics, the X's and O's, and obviously you said because of your time there and now the one of the assistant coaches still being there, from a schematic standpoint, that is sort of an advantage for them. So with that being said, do you as a coach, because I see it a lot in football when one coach or one player goes from one team to another within the season, coaches tend to change things up a little bit, the calls, the signals a little bit, just so the other guy on the other side don't get a beat on them. Is there anything that you do from a coaching and X's and O's standpoint? Or maybe you just don't want to tell us because you don't want to give that advantage to them.
So. Whatever we do would be so minimal that it would, I mean, it probably wouldn't have an effect. We may have an action or two that they haven't seen. We may have a call or two that they haven't seen, but we're not going to restructure everything we've done for 6 months, you know, so that we can go play Lipscomb tonight. And basketball is such a game. I mean, it's so fast paced. You know, it's not like we can, you know, determine our coverage, you know, based on what their formation is. So we just got to go out there and play.
Well, Coach, obviously wishing you guys the best of luck. It's always a great game. It's a uniquely Nashville event every year. And go check it out, 6:30 tonight at Lipscomb, Belmont and Lipscomb. Casey Alexander's been on both sides of it and should be an extremely entertaining and emotional evening. We do appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Absolutely. They've got a fascinating team. I mean, they've got a Rajon Rondo point guard in Grayson Murphy who's got, you know, 3.5 steals, 5.5 assists per game. He sort of goes like 8-8-5 every day with like 3 steals. Then you've got a pure Belmonte outside shooter. Then you've got a stretch four who likes to also shoot the three. You could also be a center and a big man in a like they just got a really fun team. So it's gonna be fun to watch. And the Battle of the Boulevard, if you've not had a chance to get to that game, you've got to go check that game out. So always appreciate talking with Coach Adam Vinga coming up in about 15 minutes from now. The Preds lose last night, and we'll get into our thoughts on what we saw from the 2-1 loss to the Nashville Predators last night as the Winnipeg Jets come in here and win their 5th consecutive road game. The Preds now losers of 7 out of 8. 6th place in the division. What do we make of last night? And we'll talk with Adam Vingan as well. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, and I'm assuming, Marquise, that this music means something to you.
Absolutely. That means
to our audience.
Yeah. That means Monday Night Raw is headed to Bridgestone Arena December 2nd. You can catch Seth Rollins, who lost his Universal title to The Fiend Bray Wyatt. You probably didn't know that.
No, that was a shame. I thought it was a travesty.
I thought it was, too. That was a
Travis Shamrockery.
That was a bad match, too. Anyway.
Marquise is angry.
Yeah, I just didn't like that match, personally. It was a Hell in a Cell match. It was crazy lights. It was ridiculous. The Raw Women's Champion, Becky Lynch, and the United States Champion, the phenomenal AJ Styles. And if you want tickets for that, 615-737-1025. Be caller number 5. Caller 5. Win a pair of tickets to see Monday Night Raw December 2nd at Bridgestone Arena. Just be caller number 5 and check out Seth freaking Rollins.
That happens on a Monday, correct?
Yeah.
Monday Night Raw.
No, it's
Monday Night
Wednesday.
Raw on Tuesday.
I don't know. I don't know anything about wrestling.
Monday Night Raw on Sunday.
I feel like I'd
Sunday.
Occasionally, I feel like I am, when I hear people talk about wrestling, occasionally I feel like I'm completely missing out on something.
You are.
Yeah.
But only like 5% of the time.
You're missing out on
the other 95% of the time. I'm like, But like the way people talk about it, it's so people are so passionate about it.
It's and wrestling.
And I respect, it's wrestling.
I respect that. I respect that.
And it's not real.
All right, let's.
I was trying to talk about how much I respect it. I respect it.
It's real from the standpoint of the fans' athleticism passion. And everything.
No question,
else.
They destroy their bodies.
Exactly. That's real.
Yes.
But but it's all plotted out. It's all scripted.
That's the greatest.
Let's not say it's not. I'm okay. Let me retract that.
That's the greatest wrestling I've ever seen.
It's scripted. It's real, but it's scripted.
All I know about wrestling is the South Park episode.
Wrestling.
And I thought that was funny. So.
Wrestling.
But that's because I'm a.
I used to love wrestling when I was little.
I have a sense of humor of a 13-year-old child.
Big John Studd.
See, you're a fan. See, you're passionate about it. You can recall that stuff right off the top of your
Hogan.
Dome.
Hogan.
I did watch Hulk Hogan. I did watch Hulk Hogan.
I know them all, man. Jake the Snake. The Iron Sheik. Nikolai Volkov.
See, that's the era that I at least understand. I know those names.
Yeah, that was wrestling was cool. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Oh! I remember those days. Those were the days, man.
All right.
I used to wake up Sunday morning and watch it. Well, Saturday morning and watch it.
I was busy watching cartoons, I guess.
I was a part of my cartoon.
Nashville Predators fall 2-1 last night at Bridgestone to the Winnipeg Jets. And listen, there's some positives to be taken away from last night's loss. They have now lost, 7 out of 8? They're a sixth-place team. So let's just call you are what your record says you are. And the team, you could tell, extremely frustrated. In fact, I was happy to see Matt Duchene slam his stick up against the boards as the clock struck zero last night because I like seeing emotion. Hockey players are sort of trained to not show emotion about a big win or a big loss because there's so many games in the season so long. So I actually enjoyed seeing Matt Duchene show some of that yesterday at the end of the game as he smashes his stick up against the boards in some genuine anger. But we can take some positives, which is the effort was clearly there. They brought in a couple of new names to elevate the physicality. Matthew Olivier, 22-year-old out of Quebec, 6'2", 210, played on the fourth line last night, and it was clearly brought in to inspire some physicality. Steven Santini was replacing Matt Irwin in the starting lineup on the third pairing, clearly to inspire some physicality. They needed to get bigger and tougher. Kyle Turris, a healthy scratch, interesting development to keep an eye on. And they were more physical. I thought 9 and 23 were all over the place last night. I thought Philip Forsberg was... It looked like he was literally trying to pick a fight almost every single shift, trying to hit anything with a pulse. And I enjoyed that aspect. It kind of felt like a 1990s, late 90s, early 2000 hockey game before the strike. Two teams that clearly don't like each other. But you trailed for every single minute of the 60 minutes. You trailed. You gave up high danger chances. You didn't get any high danger chances. Mm-hmm. It wasn't good enough. So all the positives that we can heap on this team for how different they looked and the effort and the physicality and the strategy from Peter Laviolette, all that's fine and good. And frankly, Matt Duchene's line looked like the best line all night with Cali Yarncroak and Mikael Granlund. That line looked like the most successful offensive line all night. But no good chances, no traffic in front of Hellebuyck, and you trail from the first minute of the game. Right now, at 9-8-3, you are not a good hockey team. You are a sixth-place hockey team, and that's what you are, and you got to work your way out of it.
Well, yeah, they are not at this point, at this juncture of the season, and, we are 20 games in, not even a quarter of a way through the season. When the season started, we thought you were a good team. The first 5-7 games, you were a good team, even longer than that. But now you've hit this lull where you've lost 5 in a row, 7 out of the last 8. And at this point in time, I don't know anyone that can look at this team and say they are a good team. But like you said, it's early enough in the season. Whatever problems they are having defensively, you hope they work them out. And whether it's getting bigger, more physical, or just, paying attention to detail and doing your assignment the way they're supposed to do it. You're supposed to do it. Whatever the case may be, you hope that it gets better as the season goes on because you don't want to run into the problem that you did last year where we kept saying, actually for the last 2 years, whether it be the penalties they were taking or, the power play.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Power play last year.
It will get better. It will get better. It will get better. And then eventually it was like, nah, they are who they are, and hopefully it doesn't hurt them in the playoffs. Well, it sort of kind of did, in a sense. So you just hope that this doesn't become the power play of last year or the penalty problem of 2 years ago where we scream it'll get better and it doesn't get better.
Yeah, and I
don't think that'd be the case with this in particular.
Because I think it's, like, again, with the power play thing last year, we sort of all just threw our hands in the air and said, what the hell's going on here? Like, even Peter Laviolette at the end of the season, how famous is that 6.5-minute answer now when he says, and he gave us every single thing that he tried, which is literally everything a coach can do to try to increase and improve the power play. You know, penalties is different. That's an attention to detail sort of effort thing. Defense, attention to detail effort thing. And the effort was there last night. The defense was better last night. You kind of hung UC Saros out to dry a few times, and he delivered for you in a couple of big ways. The very beginning, of course, the goal that, you know, listen, does it bounce off the ref's skate? Is it an unlucky bounce? That's fine. But Roman Josi still got torched by Patrick Laine on that play, and Patrick Laine was standing there in the back door and put one home 18 seconds into the game. You can't make mistakes like that. I know it's an unlucky bounce, whatever, but you can't make mistakes like that, especially with that line, with Connor and Laine. Those guys are going to kill you, and Wheeler, and those guys were great last night. I mean, this is a big physical team. We know the history. They don't like each other. It makes for fun hockey games. It was an entertaining game, I thought, from a physicality standpoint last night. Again, for those of us growing up with hockey, it felt a little bit kind of like an old-school hockey game. Juice, I thought, did a pretty good job in some really high-danger situations where he made some really big saves. But you didn't do anything to make Connor Hellebuck's job tough last night. Crispy said this, like, at every intermission and in postgame. You got to get people in front of the net. It's why you bring in a guy like Matthew Olivier. It's why you have a bigger lineup. You've got to go stand in front of the net and create some difficult chances. And you look at the heat map for yesterday, and you gave up too many good chances, and you didn't have any good chances. You're not going to win hockey games that way. And so, listen, I like a lot of the positive things. Penalty kill was good last night. There's some positive things we can take from last night. But you trailed every single minute of the game. Every stinking, all 60 of them, you were behind.
Yeah, because it started very early. I mean, Hellebuck. I mean, you got to take your hat off to Hellebuck as well.
He did a good job.
He did a good job inside net. He had 38 saves last night, and gave
maybe
up
two
a,
tough ones, maybe three tough ones.
Yeah, he gave up a shot to Bonino, which was a really good shot by Bonino. He gave that up, but for the most part, with the exception when they went empty net. And he got some pressure at the end. Toward the end, I don't think there was really any other real pressure situation for Hellebuck. Hellebuck, other than, you know, maybe the last minute of the game, yeah, 2 minutes of the game when they went, well, the last minute and 30 seconds when they went when they went empty net.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, you just hope that they. We always say that, you know, it's easier to get. It's easier when you're having problems defensively to fix them than if you're having problems offensively. So hopefully it's true in this situation and that whatever problems they're having defensively, they get them fixed. Because if they don't, they might find themselves on the outside looking in.
Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville Live featuring Predators Mikael Granlund and UC Saros. I don't think Saros was pretty good last night.
Yeah,
I gotta
he was.
Know. I think goaltending was not the issue last night. We will be in, of course, Cool Springs at Brewhouse South, and the show starts at 7 p.m. Certainly the guys are frustrated right now, but we'll get into how they're going to work out of that and have a little fun with those two guys. Fans can also win tickets to an upcoming Predators game. A limited number of autographs or pictures will be available, so make sure you get there early. Tonight's Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Yeehaw Brewing Company, and Red Spirits and Wine. Myself, Hal Gill, and a couple of those Preds players there, Granlund and Saros. So it'll be, listen, there's obviously a lot of difficulty going on with this team right now. I don't think anyone thinks they're going to finish in sixth place. I don't think anyone thinks that they're a 500 hockey team. So there is a no panic element to November hockey games that we have to sort of pump the brakes on. But there are a couple of glaring issues that we need to see addressed. Mm-hmm. And some of those, they were better last night, and that's a positive sign. Mm-hmm. But last night felt like a big moment. You're not playing well. You just gave up a big number at home to a terrible Blackhawks team. It felt like a pretty big moment. It looked like and felt like they elevated their game to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
and still it wasn't good enough. That's a scary thought. And then, of course, tomorrow with Vancouver coming to town, huge, huge game. And to quote Nick Bonino, need 2 points. That's all you need to say, need 2 points.
Well, do you think that because they changed the lineup a bit, and obviously they set Kyle Turris, who has been playing well. Again, we go back to them having to pay so much attention to defense in stopping teams that offense might suffer a little bit for.
Yeah.
Do you think last night was one of those instances where you're taking out a guy that's a scorer?
I mean, I think that it's fair to watch last night's game and say, all right, they were a tighter unit on defense. They mm-hmm. played better in general. Because I didn't see a lot of sustained offensive zone pressure mm-hmm. for Winnipeg. It was just these odd man mistakes where you just made a couple of mistakes and all of a sudden there's a guy standing in the slot wide open. It didn't feel like Winnipeg was sustaining offensive long periods of time in the offensive zone. So I think defensively they were much better. But to your point, there weren't a lot of long sustained offensive time for the Preds. There were a couple of moments where they're in the zone for an extended period, but it didn't result in any opportunities. That was the problem.
Even in the power play, and tell me if you thought this, there were either on the first power play or the second, I don't know quite how many, I hadn't looked at it, but it was how many times they were in a power play. I think it might have been twice, 2-3 times. But there was one power play.
They didn't even get set up.
They didn't get. Yeah, it was like they were not set up. It was like they were never like in offensive mode yep. to score a goal. And I don't know. And that's why I'm asking, you know, with them focusing so much on defense, you know, will the offense take a backseat sort of kind of?
They set up and had on the 5-on-3 where it was just 5-on-3 for,
I think it was
for like 20
or
30 seconds. They got set up, but it didn't really result in a great opportunity. And then then they went to intermission, and then uh-huh. they came back with just some more time. So, like, I always hate when the power play gets broken up like that. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel like you can. It's harder to build and sustain momentum, I think, in a possession when you're, you know, when you, a minute 22 in one period and, you know, mm-hmm. 38 seconds in the other period, it doesn't feel like you can really do much with that. So that's always a tough break. But you did have about 30 seconds with 5-on-3 and you had possession and you didn't really create a whole lot out of it. So,
yeah.
Listen, the first period woes continued too. I mean, you're down 1-0 and the offense doesn't look like much. So there's first period questions. But listen, you're a sixth place team. You are what your record says you are right now. And you got to improve. I expect the team to improve. And mm-hmm. there's no reason to panic. This is so early in the season. We're a quarter of the way through. We got a long way to go. They're too talented not to break out of the slump. They're too experienced not to get better on defense. So I think all these things will happen. But right now, you got to call it what it is. Adam Vingan, who always calls it how it is, we'll talk with him from The Athletic, talking about Preds when we come back right here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can kick it at Floyd Stadium this Saturday. MTSU Blue Raiders take on Old Dominion and the Monarchs this Saturday at Floyd Stadium. Get to the game early and experience the Grove tailgate area. Don't forget to also check out Blue Raider Beer Garden and Family Fun Zone. Hear all of the action for MTSU football on 94.9 Game 2. Kickoff for MTSU and Old Dominion starts at 3:30. Not a huge slate of college football action. We're efforting Adam Vingan right here, having some phone issues, so we'll get to him in just a second. But not a big slate of college football action. We'll get to a lot more of that stuff coming up tomorrow and Friday on the show is Penn State, Ohio State taking place. Tennessee, Missouri is turning into a huge football game. The more and more I look at the schedule around the country this weekend, Derek. So mm-hmm. Rankings out last night, in case you missed it. LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Georgia 4. Again, essentially the same four teams that were there last week. And you know, Alabama 5 was interesting. Oklahoma at 9, they only moved up one spot after beating Baylor. On the road, an undefeated Baylor team that, you know, they didn't give up a point in the second half. Oklahoma only moves up to the ninth spot, one spot. Here's the one that I want to get into. We're going to discuss this a lot more tomorrow. And that is, do people have a problem, in theory, with Penn State being ahead of Minnesota, despite Minnesota winning the head-to-head?
Mm-hmm.
And I think on the surface, people immediately jump to the conclusion of that's ridiculous. Why isn't head-to-head matter? Well, they've played 10 games. Don't the other 9 games matter too?
Yeah.
So I think we can get into that a little bit more tomorrow as well, because Penn State, not that it matters for Penn State or Georgia, because all their games are ahead of them. Mm-hmm. If they win out, they're going to get in. If they don't, they're not in.
Exactly. Plain and simple.
It's very easy for Georgia and Penn State. I'm not sure it's as easy for Oklahoma or the Pac-12. I think they almost need some help to get in. So those are your playoff rankings from last night. We have not really talked a lot about it today, but we will get into that a lot more tomorrow. But pretty boring rankings last night.
Yeah, I mean, other than, you know, what happened after number four, I don't think there's any shock factor to it. But I do wonder why Oklahoma didn't get more kudos for winning that game the way they did in the second half, not allowing points. And Baylor's a good team. You know, I know they won all their games close, but they're a good team. And to shut them down, don't allow a point in the second half, I mean, you know, largest comeback in Oklahoma school history, that should mean something. But I guess it doesn't. You go from 10 to 9.
Yeah, we'll find out. They got get TCU, Oklahoma State, and then another probably game with Baylor. I don't know if it's enough to get them into the playoff. We'll find out. Adam Bingen joining us here from The Athletic. Adam, can you hear me, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
So I don't know if you've heard us talking last segment or just in general on the show today, but I realized that there were positives to be taken from last night. They played a better defensive game overall. They were more physical with a couple of new faces in the lineup. I thought UC Saros played fairly well. But at the end of the day, you're a sixth-place team that's lost 7 out of 8, and you trailed for every single minute of the game. Is that fair assessment of what you saw last night in a critical situation?
Yeah, and I think Nick Bonino said it well after the game, that at this point, all that matters is winning. You know, even if every game of this 7 out of 8 loss slump hasn't been as disastrous as the game against Colorado or the skewed scoreboard against Chicago, they're not winning games. And the teams around them are in the division. I mean, Dallas, for example, has points in 12 of 13. Winnipeg is, I think, you know, they've won all 3 games on this road trip that they're on right now, which ends in Dallas tomorrow. Colorado continues to win. St. Louis continues to pick up points. They're falling behind. You know, not only are they losing, but every team that they need to beat is winning. So at this point, you know, to use the old sports cliche, there are no moral victories. Now, this team needs points, and they need them fast.
Now, Adam, what is it that you feel the team can do? Because obviously, you know, reading your article in The Athletic, and people should go check it out, the Predators mailbag, and you talk about, you know, Laviolette's impatience with the line and everything else. He tried to do some things last night. Did it minimize the opponent's scoring? Yes, it did. And you can say the first goal was a fluke goal, but it didn't ultimately end in a win. So what more can they do without, you know, jeopardizing what they do on offense?
Yeah, that's a good question because, in the previous 7 games before last night, you know, over the course of that six, when it was 6 losses in 7 games, goaltending was the biggest problem. They were actually doing a fairly decent job of limiting quality chances against, but they weren't getting saved. You know, last night, you know, they have a turnover or a bobbled puck in the first 30 seconds that leads to a goal and puts them right on their heels. And I think one of the issues, you know, is the construction of the lineup. For example, I know how great Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, and Victor Arvidsson have been for the last several years. But this year, in a limited sample, they have not been good. For whatever reason, Peter Laviolette has abandoned the Philip Forsberg, Matthew Shane, Mikhail Granlund line that was phenomenal to start the season. And not to minimize the realization of a dream that Matthew Olivier had last night in making his NHL debut, but to scratch Kyle Turris to put in Matthew Olivier is confounding to me. I just don't think that lineup gave them the best chance to succeed. I just think that I understand that at this time with coaches, there's a fine line between giving lines the opportunity to find a rhythm and doing what's necessary to win hockey games. But I look at that lineup last night, and I didn't see a forward group that was put into the best position to win a hockey game. I just think, I don't know what they're doing with Kyle Turris. I really don't understand it. And I just think that they need to go back to some of the lines that they had at the beginning of the season. I mean, they're regressing offensively, which we expected because they were playing above their head at the early portion of the season, but it shouldn't be this bad. So they need to figure that out.
Did you like the, along those lines, speaking of lines, Adam Bingen joining us here from The Athletic, I did think that Matt Duchesne's group yesterday was by far the most active. Is that what you saw with, he was paired with Cali Yarncroke and Mikael Granlund? I know Granlund's getting a lot of criticism. Kyle Turris gets scratched. I did think that that group was the most active last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I'm sorry, there's a dog battle happening in here.
Is everybody
anyway.
Okay? Is everybody okay, Adam?
Yes, everybody is okay. Everybody is okay.
Do you need us to talk for a second while you get someplace?
Like your boy
dog
Retro, man.
No. Everything is good. The dog fight is over. I did think that line played well last night. You know, I give credit to Cali Yarncroke for, you know, being as productive as he was in the top six. I just think the lack of another impact left winger on this team outside of Philip Forsberg is an issue for this group. You know, with respect to Cali Yarncroke, who has played better this season than he did last year offensively at any point, really, you know, he's not a top six caliber winger. And that's the issue. I mean, they tried Craig Smith on his offhand. That didn't work. They tried Kyle Turris during the preseason. They abandoned that. You know, I feel like this group, you know, on paper is the most talented forward group they've had, but it still feels like something's missing. You know, so I do think that Duchesne's line was good last night, but, you know, not enough to generate any goals.
Defensively, we've documented the issues. Early it was defensive issues, then it was penalty kill, then they fixed the penalty kill. They were actually pretty good last night on the penalty kill. Then it's been goaltending. You've documented it in your work at The Athletic as well. But again, it's November, and you have to take everything sort of with relative understanding of the calendar. At what point do you think that these are actual concerns, a la the power play last year or taking too many penalties the year before that?
Well, we heard our first look what the Blues did last year reference inside of the Predators locker room yesterday. That's the first I've heard. I know other teams that have struggled to start the season have used that. But it was the first time I've heard that in the Predators dressing room. But my problem with that logic is that what the Blues did last year, you know, the ability to replicate that is probably, just based on percentages, is incredibly slim. Just because one team did it doesn't mean every team's going to do it. I mean, Elliot Freeman has a statistic. I don't have it in front of me, but more often than not, teams that are at least 4 points out of a playoff spot on American Thanksgiving do not make the playoffs. So if the Predators are more than 4 points out of a playoff spot next week, you know, statistics say that they're going to have some tough sledding to make the playoffs. And look, I still think this team is a playoff team. I still think they're going to make the playoffs. But as I said at the beginning, the more that the other teams around them continue to win, the worse it looks. Like, it's not like the entire Central Division is slumping right now. I mean, Chicago was winning. They lost last night, but they were winning. And I mentioned all the other teams before. I mean, they're only 3 points ahead of Minnesota, who I believe is the worst team in the conference. So, you know, if we get to, I'd say if this slide continues for another week or two, I think you can start getting really concerned. But I'm not quite there yet. But if we're still talking about this after Thanksgiving, then I think you have a right to be concerned.
There you go, folks. No panic until after we all get fat and happy on Thanksgiving. It sounds good, Adam.
Correct.
Thank you, my friend.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. Adam Bingen there. And, of course, always check out his stuff at The Athletic as well. Derek, listen, I don't think a Thursday night game in November against Vancouver is like one of those games where you circle and you go, that's the one. But there needs to be some performance progress on Thursday night. They need some points tomorrow night for sure.
No, you're absolutely right. This is a situation where they need to show, if they indeed switch up the lineup again, they need to show that it's working. They switched up the lineup last night, and it didn't work. And when I say it didn't work, it didn't end up in a win. That's what I mean by it didn't work. Now, did they hold Winnipeg to two goals? Absolutely. And you can say, again, one of those goals was just a fluky goal. Yes, they did. But ultimately, it didn't end up in a win. So what do you do tomorrow night to try to get a victory.
In light of the Battle of the Boulevard, of course, Lipscomb and Belmont tonight, I will quote the late, great Don Meyer, one of the great basketball coaches in the history of the sport in this country. What are you going to do next? You got to put it all behind you because you got like 62 more games to go. So What are you going to do next? Doesn't matter if you won by 5 goals last night or lost by a goal. Doesn't matter. Put it away. Pack it up. You got one more tomorrow night. 2 more points on the line. You got to make progress. It's bottom line. You got to make progress. You're right now, you're a 6th place team, and you got to make some progress. But Adam Vingan did just say, we're not allowed to panic until after Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
So that's cool. So everyone rest easy until after Thanksgiving.
We can overreact, though. It's a difference.
When are we allowed to overreact?
Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Mondays and Wednesdays, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Fridays.
But not Fridays.
Well, no.
Which is the day after Thanksgiving, which is when Adam just told us we could overreact.
Well, see, we can overreact on...
But overreacting is different than panicking, right?
No, that's kind of all on the same line.
Those are two different things.
Because when you're overreacting, aren't you panicking?
Not necessarily. Maybe. I think they're different.
Oh. Yeah. Well.
We will discuss during the break and spare you the conversation.
Yeah.
Big finish when we come back.
We've had a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
All right. The big finish is brought to you by Nashville Soccer Club. Get your MLS tickets for the inaugural season today.
Let them have it, D.
Go to NashvilleSC.com. We say, you know, why does sports work in certain markets? Well, you know why? Because people like Nashville SC and MLS and all this other stuff, they know how to treat their fans, you know?
That's true.
They know how to treat their fans.
Predators sure do.
Predators know how to treat their fans. And they're saying, tickets, man. Tickets. Go get your tickets. They're telling you to get your tickets right now. Exactly. Get your tickets right now, man.
There's like a roster of players now. Absolutely. It's cool.
They're treating you right, man. They're treating you right.
All right, pipe down over there. Yeah. let's hit the Daily Rewind. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome to the program. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson here on a Wednesday edition. The Nashville Predators fall last night to the Winnipeg Jets 2-1. I really appreciated and I really liked the energy, the intensity, the passion. Philip Forsberg looked like a dude on a mission. They brought up 2 players from the AHL and Steven Santini and Mr. Olivier, who made his NHL debut, Matthew Olivier, that is, on the fourth line, 6'2", 220, to be more physical. Both those guys to be more physical. Kyle Turris, healthy scratch, to be more physical. Play with jam, as Peter Laviolette likes to say. That being said, that's all positive, and the defense was better, and they only gave up 2 goals. All that's fine. You feel better about the way you played last night. That's cool. You trailed literally for every single minute of the game. Literally every minute of the game, you were behind last night. You are not a good hockey team right now. You're in 6th place in the division. You're not in the playoffs. Your losing streak is out of the last 2 weeks is terrible. You're giving up too many goals. Last night, that part of the game was better, but you're just not a good hockey team right now. No, that was like OG Braden Gall rocking out. That was like 1993, like when I was in middle school. Like that hit me right in my like development stage of life, and the grunge rock era came out. That is Soundgarden, Derek.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Soundgarden's not a that song is a very, very popular song.
Can you see Braden with like long hair, like listening to grunge music with a Nirvana T-shirt hanging out in front of the mall?
When he said that, that's what I was trying to picture. Him with some rolled up jeans, rolled up short jeans,
pocket chain.
Yeah, the pocket.
Here's what's really funny is you guys could not be more wrong. Derek Mason, football coach for your Vanderbilt Commodores.
It's not easy in the midst of a lot of noise, okay, like for anybody, but it's a life lesson for these young men to understand that life sometimes is going to present you with some issues and some problems, and what you got to do when you get knocked down is get back up, dust your pants off, man, and just keep going. Because, you know, man, believe me, that's what adults do. That's what grown people do. And so, like for them, I mean, it's just knowledge and growth. You know, when you talk about, you know, like supporting these players, that's exactly what it's about, okay, man? You don't have to like Derek Mason. You don't have to, you know, like care for for his X's and O's. You don't have to care about, you know, man, who he is, man. But, I mean, if you're a Commodore fan at all, man, you should care about these student-athletes. Okay, man, they're Commodores. They're Vanderbilt men. Okay, man, they've walked these halls. They've gone to these, you know, man, classes, been in these classrooms. And, you know, man, these young men are playing their last game, and they're getting ready to graduate and leave Vanderbilt. And you know what? That experience and what they see and what they feel, okay, man, it goes a long way towards these young men coming back and being able to give back to this place because they felt the love during the time that they were here.
Chris Jungen's joining us here on the program.
If you have fantastic relationships with your fans, your partners, your performers, then I think that you've got the makings of, you know, you build the foundation of success. So, you know, you have to have that. You have to have some on the field or on the ice performance and success there too. And the magic happens when all that sort of comes together.
I think live kind of goes
through
season. Is it
cupping season? Is that what they call it in New York?
Cupping season in the wintertime.
You don't know what this is?
In the wintertime.
Yeah, cupping season.
Or whatnot. It's like, okay, I got to give me a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
And yeah, and it, I guess it's a big deal in New York in particular because it's just so cold out. You
exactly.
don't want to go
to get somebody.
So you need
a
boo for like the winter months.
Just the winter months.
Like when March comes, you
4 months.
Basically someone with a Netflix subscription.
Absolutely. And you got Netflix, Hulu, anything?
You busy the next 4 months?
You and I, we should be boyfriend, girlfriend for the next 3 or 4 months. After that, we can go on about
our
business.
This was never a thing when I was...
I know. It's the thing now. Because we didn't have Netflix.
You going to get booed up this winter, Marquise? Is that what's going to happen?
I mean, you know...
It's not that cold in Nashville.
Belmont head basketball coach Casey Alexander joining us here on the program.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Lipscomb-Belmont doesn't, you know, have a little bit more meaning to it than a lot of games that we play as far as fan interest and, you know, and what both schools want and former players and me having coached at both places. I mean, that's human nature that it's going to feel a little different. But at the same time, the coaching part of me is, you know, how can we best prepare ourselves to go play tonight? What do we need to do to win tonight? And 100% when the game starts, I won't care where we are, who we're playing, or what the history says.
Adam Bingen joining us here from The Athletic.
At this point, all that matters is win. You know, even if every game of this 7 out of 8 loss slump hasn't been as disastrous as the game against Colorado or the huge scoreboard against Chicago, they're not winning games, and the teams around them are in the division. You know, Dallas, for example, has points in 12 of 13. Winnipeg is, I think, you know, they've won all 3 games on this road trip that they're on right now. We're getting to Dallas one. Colorado continues to win. St. Louis continues to pick up points. They're falling behind. You know, not only are they losing, but every team that they need to beat, it wins. So at this point, you know, to use the old sports cliche, there are no moral victories. Now, this team needs points, and they need them fast.
Can I just ask y'all another, like, meth question?
No. Hell, we asked the meth question yesterday.
I got another meth question to talk about.
If we can ask a meth question on the show, then we can ask this question here.
And we've asked some really controversial questions.
Would you rather?
Okay. Brace yourself, Marquise. You can do this. You're a gentleman and a scholar.
You've been held hostage.
Yeah,
you've been held hostage.
We put the mic to your mouth, and we made you say this.
This is like Reservoir Dogs, except you guys don't have the suits. Like, this is pretty
bad. You got sweatsuits.
Would you rather your mother send a nude picture to yourself or your friends, and I'll hang up and listen.
So, would you rather your mom send a nude to you or to all of your friends? I think this is a no-brainer.
Yeah, it has to be a no-brainer. I would rather get it because then I can erase it really quick. Yes. And if no harm, no foul, I won't even say anything to mom. I act like it never happened and move on with my life.
It would be a suppressed memory immediately.
Yes, I will compartmentalize it very quickly to never be opened again.
Yes, ever.
If it's sent to your friends,
you're done.
You're done. You are completely, because then it circulates. Because your boy's going to rag you every time they see you.
Clap your hands, everybody. If you got what it takes.
Oh, I don't know if we have what it takes ever. I'm not really sure. But we'll do it again tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Absolutely. That we will do.
Derek Mason, Brayden Gull, Marquise Munson, thanks everybody for hanging out with us today. We are back tomorrow. College football weekend coming up. Huge NFL weekend for the Titans. And Phillip Rivers rumors swirling through, quote, NFL circles about his desire to come to Nashville. So the guys coming up.
Nothing new.
Darren Donick and Willie, they'll have all kinds of coverage of that. Coming up in just a few minutes. So don't go anywhere. For Morning Drive, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, stay warm, and I love you.
Moro Casino.
America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.